But anyway, as promised, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And would I be wrong in assuming this is one Matthew Preem?
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, Steve? How you doing?
All right. So I was just talking about it. Has the buzz circled? Has the word come down about Ernie Kent?
You know, I actually walked out of my elevator and on my way to the arena right now. I'm just outside waiting to get inside the media entrance, and I just saw it. So I'm not around any other media members. So I don't know what the vibe is, but I'm kind of shocked.
Yeah, I was running over his record. I mean, he'd won 7 games, 4 games this year. They seem to have some talent. Maybe we're making a move. But I guess this is something that's going to play itself out. But more
importantly, I was shocked.
I'm sorry.
I was shocked because of financial reasons. Like, I knowing what Washington State's budget is and the amount of money that he was owed and the contract years left on the deal, I just didn't think Washington State could afford it.
Well, I guess maybe if you look at attendance, maybe there was a tie-in there. So this morning you tweeted out that you had action on 12 games. The tournament secondary, how are you hitting them so far?
I'm hot, Steve. I'm hot. I'm 6-0 right now. I've hit a parlay. I've got 6 more games left. It's difficult to justify going to the tables because I'm hot right now.
Yeah, it's like, isn't Matt covering the games? Nah, he's on a roll. He's at the sports book. Enough of this nonsense. I'll tell you what, you know, I was watching the Arizona game yesterday, and the reputation is they turned Vegas into McHale North, but I don't know if it's the circumstance of the team or if the fans aren't bought in. Am I on point saying it wasn't the usual overwhelming Wildcat turnout?
Yeah, yesterday's Wildcat turnout was nowhere close to what it typically is. Now, I actually went to high school with one of the SIDs at Arizona, and he's here, and I bumped into him, and I mentioned that to him, and he said that a lot of Arizona fans booked their flights in last night. And so it looks like it's a case where they lost day one, game one, and there's no reason to come back to the arena. So we'll see what the arena looks like tonight.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Let's get to the Ducks. I mean, you know, this team was kind of floundering. Then all of a sudden they got swept at the UCLA schools. Now they've won 5 in a row. You wrote about it in yesterday's game kind of a summary. What is going on with this team defensively?
Yeah, they're just playing very, very well. The biggest thing that you talk to the players, you talk to Dana, is that they're talking now. And that you go and you look at their games earlier in the year, and there's very little communication. And I have no data behind this, but I think if you go and watch their last 5 games and compare that to the rest of the year, you'll see a team that's diving on loose balls, celebrating for other players' success as if it was their own, guys competing hard. And that's just gone up the last 5 games. And I talked to Will Richardson last night after the game, and one thing that he said to me that stood out that I haven't included in that story is that he said after the UCLA-USC games, everyone just kind of realized, this isn't working. And he said that guys were a little more focused on me than we, and that's changed. And that he said that with the team's success, he said everyone else's individual performances has gotten better. And so I think this team has fully now figured out what they have to do, how to play, and it's paying off.
Talking with Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports on Twitter, at Matt Preem. Any logic to, you know, when you look at what the team was supposed to be with Bol Bol, and then he was going to team up with another 5-star, then, you know, Kenny Wooten was going to be part of that, then they had some damaging losses. Is that, I guess, how much credit do we need to give to this coaching staff? Because it seems like they have just not given up. They've tinkered, mix and match. And it's like you said, they finally got them on the same page.
Yeah, 100%. This is probably Dana Altman's toughest coaching job of his career at Oregon. Maybe outside of his first, just because they had a dean designed to be around Bol Bol, and then you lose him 9 games in, And then your other five-star, Lewis King, misses the first seven games. And on top of that, he needs a month later after that. He comes back to get into his groove. Kenny Wooten gets hurt. Paul White's been hurt. You have a transfer and a Bukijab. You know, there's just been a ton of constant change with this team. And it's very easily for Oregon's players to have given up at one point and just say, hey, this isn't our year. We're not going to the tournament. Let's just pack it in and get healthy for next season. And they fought through that.
No, it's really been noticeable. One guy I got to talk about is Francis Okoro. You know, because of the two five-stars, he kind of snuck under the radar, but he was a highly touted recruit.
Yeah.
Obviously raw. What do you make of how his game is coming on during this nice run?
Yeah, he's certainly slowed down. You could tell when you watch earlier in the year, things were going through. His processes were very fast. He was acting very quickly on the court, you know, wasn't taking his time and letting the game just come to him. And now things have slowed down a little bit. He's getting good position. And I think this is a big thing, too. Oregon's going to him now. He's had good position throughout the year and just hasn't been given the ball offensively. And now they're going through him. They're running stuff to him, and he's converting. And you look at his last five games, and he's averaging 6.5 points, 8.5 rebounds. I mean, that's borderline. If he did that in the conference, that's borderline all freshman team.
Right. Couple final thoughts for Matt Prehm of 27 Sports, because talking to me, I don't want to kill your hot streak. another guy who's come along at kind of a different pace, Will Richardson. I thought his handling more of the point guard duties kind of lessened the burden on Peyton Pritchard, allowed him to play to his strengths. But, you know, this is a big point guard at 6'5". What do you like about his game and, you know, what he's contributing to this team?
Yeah, I talked to him last night, and he averaged 32 points a game in Georgia as a junior and then transferred to Oak Hill Academy for his senior. And Oak Hill Academy is one of the top high school programs in the country.
Right.
They always have multiple five stars. And he said that move was to learn to become a point guard. And it helped him pay off. It helped him see some things, develop a little bit. And now that he's gotten at Oregon, he says he feels more prepared, but he's learned a lot under Peyton, seeing how he presents himself, how he treats, you know, game day routine and all that. He said that he really likes the fact that he can be a big point guard at 6'5", really long arms, can rebound, defend, and score, opposed to being a guard that's 6'5", and is under 200 pounds. So he likes the move to point guard. And he told me that, you know, one of the biggest goals for this offseason for him is just to get bigger, get 15 pounds heavier, get a little bit stronger, and just have more understanding of the ins and outs of both sides of the ball. But, yeah, you're right. He's been tremendous for Oregon this season. A nice piece off the bench for Oregon to help Peyton Pritchard run the point.
No, he's been a joy to watch evolve. And lastly, so Utah in a few hours, they played just once this year. Ironically, at the time, Richardson had the game of his life. Oregon pressure. Utah obviously hasn't played yet. And like everybody in this conference, they were all over the place. You know, you've been doing the analysis, following these teams all year. How do you like the way Oregon matches up with this team?
Oh, I don't like Utah's big guys matched up against Oregon's. Oregon's more athletic. They're longer. They're bigger. They're stronger. And they have more of those types of guys than Utah. Now, Utah is a sharp shooting team from three. Bearfield and Parker Van Dyke are some of the best shooters in the country, in the Pac-12. And Bearfield is one of the top scorers in the conference. So it's going to be kind of a cat and mouse game. Can Oregon pound it inside? And can they use their size and their length? And can Utah and their guards get by Oregon's length? I don't know where Arizona came from.
They're out.
But I think something that really gets lost in this game is that Utah led by 14 points two different times in the first half. You know, Oregon came out and blew out Utah or took control of that game, but it was at one point where Utah looked like they were going to blow the Ducks out. So, I mean, I think Oregon beats them, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people are thinking.
Well, Oregon's a 5-point favorite. I don't know if you're going to have any action on this one, but
I do not.
Either way, hey, I know you got a million things going on. I really appreciate your time. Always great stuff. Of course, Matt Prehm of 24/7 Sports. Check him out on Twitter. Use the handle at Matt Prehm. Keep knocking him dead. Obviously, we hope you're there until Sunday morning. And really appreciate your time, Matt.
Hey, anytime, Steve.
All right, take it easy.